Chapter 9. "Don't you dare," she said, then went to the bedside table, got the bottle of laudanum, and poured it into a glass of water. "Hold him up while I get this down him." Angus did what she said.
"So you didn't drink this as he told you to?"
"No, I don't like that concoction. It makes me dizzy." "Here, James, darling, drink the wine. That's a good boy."
"You've forgiven him?"
Angus asked incredulously. "Ha!" Adeline pinched James's arm hard. "That will cause him a bruise tomorrow."
"Why, it will,"
Angus said. "If you start laughing at me again, I'll not help you get away."
"You help me?" he asked.
"Yes," she said, as she stood up. James's arm had been across her, but she let it fall to the floor. "Hope his wrist breaks," she muttered. "While you've been lolling about in the chair and lusting over my foot, I've been making a plan."
"Lolling?" he said, as he put James's head on the floor. "Lusting? You are not talking as a lady should."
"In the last few months, I've had too many horrible things happen to me to be ladylike. If I were a lady, I'd not let you stay in my room while I'm in my nightwear."
"That you wouldn't. But I like that thing you have on."
"You liked his wife, too. And if you step closer to me, I'll scream."
"That's the second time tonight a woman said that to me."
At that, Adeline turned her back on him and folded her arms across her chest.
"All right,"
Angus said, but he couldn't keep the laughter out of his voice.
"I apologize. Please forgive me. Now, what is it that you have to say? What is this plan of yours?"
Turning, Adeline looked at James, then at Angus. "I know what we're going to do."
"We are not going to do anything. You are going to get on that ship and sail to America. Then you're going to..."
"You're going to be my husband."
"What?"
"We'll say that you're James's brother. If the captain has met James, we'll just say that there was a misunderstanding and that his brother, Angus, is the one who's going across the ocean."
"Me be your husband?" Angus said. "Have you lost your mind? How can I be your husband? Look at me."
"You'll wear James's clothes. If he put my gold on the ship, he's probably put his clothes on board too. You'll wear what he has on now, then later you'll have his wardrobe." She walked around him. "We'll have to clean you up. A bath, a shave. We'll wash that hair of yours."
"A bath? Are you a mad woman? I'll catch my death."
"You're going to die a worse death if my uncle finds you."
"I don't like this."
"You think I do? The man I loved..." She kicked at James's foot, but he just smiled and curled up on the floor. He looked quite happy. She looked back at Angus. "You're right. We don't want people to see you. My likeness of you is much too good. We'll need help for a bath, so we'll have to forgo it." Angus's look let her know he thought her idea was preposterous.
"How am I to shave? I brought no razor with me."
"Obviously. You wouldn't know how to use it if you had one." Angus backed toward the door.
"Somehow I'm going to return to my own people. They need me."
"Balderdash," Adeline said. "They'll be quite fine without you." Angus backed away from her, but he put his hand up to his beard. Considering that half of Scotland was looking for a man with a full beard and wild hair, it might not be a bad idea if he shaved. "As for the clothes..." He looked at James curled on the floor and was sure that his waistcoat was silk.
"What would a man like Angus be doing wearing silk?"
"Well," she said, "I'm waiting. What do you have to say for yourself? Are you a coward, or do you have the courage to go to a country where you know no one?"
"I canna do that," he said. "But perhaps to shave and look different from the picture you drew of me would be good. Tell me, lass, what possessed you to draw a likeness of me? Did you plan to put it under your pillow so you'd dream of me?"
"I don't have time to deal with your vanity. You have to make a decision now. And no, I won't help you shave and cut your hair if you aren't going to America with me."
"You're going to shave me?"
he asked, his eyes teasing.
Perhaps I should take a bath after all. I'd like your help with that.
You are trying my patience. You're allowed no more jokes. You have to decide. If you don't, you're going out that door and I'll never see you again.
Not even one? He asked. Every Scotsman needs.
Adeline went to the door, threw it open, and stood there waiting for him to leave. Angus didn't move. He knew he should. If he had any sense, he would leave the room and never look back. But there was a big part of him that knew this was an opportunity that he'd have only once in his life. No matter what he did now, he knew he couldn't go back home. He couldn't go to his sister, and he'd never again toss her children aloft. He'd never again see his Uncle Malcolm or any of the rest of the McTurn clan. Well? Adeline asked. Are you going or staying?
I guess I'll stay, he said softly.
You'll go to America with me?
Aye, lass. I will.
Adeline turned her back to him as she closed the door and tried to compose her face so he'd not see her joy. She knew she couldn't stay in England or Scotland, but the thought of going to a new country by herself was almost more than she could bear. When she turned back to him, she had her emotions under control. She looked at him in speculation as she thought how she was going to transform him into looking as though James's fine clothes weren't alien to him. But Adeline had nothing with her. She'd worn her nightgown under her dress, and she had a tortoiseshell comb that she'd put into her pocket, but she had no scissors or razor. As she looked at him, she saw his eyes beginning to close. Heaven help her, but he was falling asleep, standing on his feet. How did you get the papers from James's... She nearly choked on the word. From his wife?
Laudanum, he mumbled. Harcourt passes it out to all his women. He must grow the poppies in his back garden.
If James could afford a garden, I wouldn't be in this mess, Adeline said. Are you telling me that she's still asleep?
I hope so.
She put her hand on the small of his back and pushed him toward the door. I want you to go back into her room and get what I can use. I need scissors and a comb and a good sturdy brush, as well as shaving gear.
How am I to find these things? He asked, waking up a bit. I don't know ladies' things.
If you ever cut your hair, you'd know that men also use a comb and a razor. As she looked at him, she knew that he'd never get all the things they'd need. How did you get into the bedroom?
Through the window. But I went out the door. If she's still asleep, the door is unlocked.
Then I'll go with you. Here, help me get James's jacket off.
You want to undress the man?
Please don't start your prudery on me. I'm going to put the jacket on over my nightdress, and we are going to raid that woman's room.
You should put on your clothes, he said rather stiffly.
I don't have time to lace myself into a corset, and I'd never fit into my dress if I don't put it on. Hurry up. It's only a few hours till dawn, and then we must get on the ship. Angus shook his head a few times to clear it of sleep, then helped her get the jacket off of James. Adeline gave him another pinch on his arm when he had only the shirt on. Dishonourable man, she said.
You fell out of love with him soon enough, he said.
He married someone else and stole my dowry. Those are two things a woman can't abide.
I'll remember that the next time a woman loves me.
You should, she said, as she slipped her arms into the heavy coat and ran her hands down the sleeves. Whatever else was said about James, he had taste. Are you ready? He was smiling at her. She looked good in her long white gown with the man's jacket over it. The coat was dark red with a lining of burgundy silk, and the colours suited her. He picked up the candle and went out the door, Adeline behind him. She had no shoes on, and the minute her feet touched the dirty hall floor, she let out a cry. But Angus gave her a hard look, and she quit complaining. They went down 3 flights of stairs in order to reach the ground floor, and Angus went to the door at the far end. He put his fingers to his lips, motioning her to be quiet as he slowly opened the door. He listened for a moment, heard Harcourt's wife's slight snore, then waved at Edeline that it was all right to go inside. When they were inside and the door closed behind them, the first thing she did was walk to the bed to see the woman. Angus couldn't help himself, but he stopped her. He knew there was no reason for her not to take a peek at James's wife, but he didn't want her to. He knew she'd laugh and be relieved that James was now stuck with an ugly wife, but Angus didn't want Edeline to see the truth. He caught her arm and motioned her to the trunk in the corner of the room. It was small, with a dome-shaped lid, and he had an idea that all their possessions that weren't already on the ship were in it, and it was ready to be taken when they left in the morning. When Angus nodded toward the trunk, she went to it and opened it. On the top was a leather case containing shaving gear, and under it looked to be folded-up dresses. When Edeline reached for one of them, Angus shook his head that there wasn't time to go through the garments. He well knew that she had only the clothes she'd been wearing when she ran away, but he also knew the dresses in the trunk would be much too big for her. Reluctantly, Edeline left the dress where it was and took a small sewing kit that was tucked into a tray on the side. It would have scissors in it. When Angus started out the door, he thought Edeline was right behind him. But when he looked back, she was at the bed, moving the blanket back to get a look at the sleeping woman. Angus caught her hand just as she was about to see the woman's face. He held her hand until they were outside the door in the hallway. "I just wanted to see her," she said in a loud whisper. "What's wrong with that? Both you and James have raved about her beauty and how you want to spend your lives with her, so it was only natural that I'd want to have a look at her."
"Spend my life with her," Angus whispered as they started up the stairs. "Are you truly mad? Were you bitten by a rabid dog?"
"Yes, one named James Harcourt," Edeline muttered angrily. Angus paused on the stairs, held the candle aloft, and said,
"I do believe, lass, that you made a joke."
"So I did. Maybe it's a disease, and I'm catching it from you," she said, as she went up the stairs past him. But she was smiling.
Once they were back in the room, Edeline took off the coat, told Angus to sit down, then walked around him, looking at his head and trying to figure out how to go about it.
"This is more than you can do," he said. "I think we should forget this, and I should head out to the Highlands tonight."
She put her hand on his chest to push him back in the chair.
"The best thing would be to shave your head and get a wig."
Angus put up his hand to his head in protest.
"But we don't have time for that. First, I must comb it. Then I'll cut it. Once it's tied back, I'll start on your face. This is going to take hours."
Angus wasn't sure if he'd like someone fiddling with his hair, but the moment she touched him, he relaxed.
"Go on, go to sleep," she said. "I don't need you to make fun of me while I do this job."
"Go to sleep with a woman with scissors so near my face? I couldn't trust you so," he said,
half teasing, half serious. But in the next minute, his head nodded forward, and he began to doze. Edeline was glad he'd gone to sleep, because she could at last relax. It took a lot of energy to pretend to be strong and know what she should do with her life, and what another person should do. In one night, she'd gone from being in love with James Harcourt, she glanced at him, still on the floor, to being alone in the world. All she seemed to have now was this man who'd made it clear many times that he thought she was useless in the world, someone he had to look after night and day. When Angus's head tipped forward on his chest, she got the pitcher of water, filled a glass, and began to slowly comb the thousands of knots out of Angus's long, thick hair. She hadn't told him, but she'd never been this close to a man before.
Oh, she'd had a few moments with men who stole kisses when no one was looking, James included. But she'd certainly never been in a room alone with a man and touching his hair.
It took over an hour to get the tangles out. Twice she'd had to use the scissors and snip away a knot that she couldn't loosen. And several times he'd nearly awakened when she pulled too hard. But she'd been able at last to get the comb through it. Then she trimmed it so it was just shoulder length. She snatched the black ribbon off James and put it on Angus's hair. When she finished, she stepped to the front of him to have a look. She could see his forehead now and saw how well shaped it was. She ran her fingers over his cheek, then drew back when he stirred in his sleep and almost woke. Next, she had to tackle that hideous beard of his. She was sure that he'd wake up as she began to use the scissors on it, but he didn't. Yet somehow she knew that if she were to do something like, say, cock a gun, he'd wake in a second. It made her feel good that he trusted her so much that he allowed her to use scissors near his face. It took a while to cut the whiskers down to a length where she could shave them. She had amassed a great pile of hair by then, and she gathered it up and tossed it out the window. As she did, she looked at the sky. Morning was coming, and with it the sun. It wouldn't be long before they would be on the ship. When Edeline turned back, she drew in her breath. Angus was still asleep, his head against the back of the chair. His hair was no longer standing out around his head, but was tied back neatly at the nape of his neck. His beard didn't spread out until it covered even his neck, but was now just a thick stubble of black whiskers. She blinked a few times, looking at him hard. She wasn't sure, but she thought maybe he was handsome. No, not just handsome, but beautiful. Perhaps even better looking than James, but dark, with black hair and dark lashes. She'd often seen her father shave when she was a girl, and she hoped she remembered how to do it. She had no hot water, so she'd have to make do with cold water and James's scented lather. She put the cold lather on his face, and he didn't so much as stir. But when she held the long, straight razor to him, he grabbed her wrist, his eyes open and staring. "If I'm to cut your throat, you must release me," she said calmly.
"Aye," he murmured, "murder me in my sleep. I nearly forgot the plan."
He dropped her wrist and went back to sleep. She marvelled at how he could sleep and joke through all this, but he did. He was perfectly still as she shaved him, removing every trace of the hair on his face and neck. When she finished, she stood back and looked at him in disbelief. Angus had heavy black brows, thick lashes, a perfectly formed nose and lips. She didn't think she'd ever seen such beautiful lips on a man. They were full and soft and as sculpted as those on a statue. Beside him, James was ordinary looking. "He must be aware of this," she thought. "No one could look as he did and not be aware of it. Had he grown that enormous beard to hide his face?" "Mr. McTurn," she said softly, "it's time to get up now. You have to get dressed. We'll get on the ship soon." He didn't move. "Angus," she said sharply, "wake up." Slowly he opened his eyes and looked at her with a smile. When he turned his head, he felt the lightness and ran his hand over his bare face.
"What have you done to me?"
"What should have been done long ago," she said. "You have to stop sleeping now and get ready to go. We have to get James's clothes off of him, and I have to get dressed. I apologize, but you're going to have to help me with the strings to my corset."
"To your..."
When she looked at him, she could see that his face had pinkened. "My goodness, McTurn of McTurn, are you blushing?"
"Nay,"
he said. But he turned away as he stood up.
You'll have to show me how to do what you need to have done.
I will, she said, hiding her smile. She got the clothes she'd worn the day before out of the wardrobe and laid them out on the bed, watching Angus as she did so. She would have thought he'd want to see himself in a mirror. It must have been a long time since he'd seen himself without that beard. But as far as she could tell, he showed no evidence that he was even curious. She watched as he bent and grabbed James under the arms, then hauled him onto the bed. For a moment, Angus just stood there, looking at the man lying on the bed happily asleep.
I don't like this, Angus said. To steal a man's clothes like this is not right.
Adeline rolled her eyes and went to James and loosened his cravat. Then I'll undress him.
You'll not, Angus said, sounding shocked by the idea. I'll tend to him. You go and do what you need to.
Adeline glanced out the window. The pink of dawn was approaching. I think we should go down to the wife's room as soon as we're dressed. I'm sure James will have someone coming to rouse him to get him to the ship on time. He likes to stay up late and hates to wake up in the morning.
Good idea, Angus said.
He was on the other side of the bed, and the hangings kept her from seeing what he was doing, but she could hear the movement of cloth as he took off his own clothes and put on James's. An unusual feeling was running through Adeline. Just a few feet from her was a man in his undergarments. And not just any man, but one who'd been kind to her. Well, not always, but in the end he'd taken care of her. If it hadn't been for him, she'd now be asleep in the inn, and James and his wife would soon sail off with her dowry. I need help with the laces, she said softly. She'd put the corset on over her nightgown, but the laces were in the back. Should I come round there? Angus took the few steps to get to the foot of the bed, and Adeline could only stare at him. He had on James's tight tan breeches and his big-sleeved shirt, and nothing else. A lifetime of being outside, of riding horses and climbing, had given him thighs that were heavy with muscle. Angus was smiling at her in a way that let her know he knew what she thought of him. She wasn't about to tell him that he looked so good he took her breath away. She turned her back to him, presenting the laces for him to fasten. When we get to the ship, it will be better if you don't speak, she said.
Not a word?
He asked, as he grabbed the sturdy laces and pulled the stiff corset together. Your accent and the way you say things will give you away. No, it's better that you let me do all the talking. Angus gave a jerk on the corset laces that nearly broke her ribs. Do you mean to cut me in half?
I thought you'd want a waist as small as that of other women. I do apologize. I'll loosen the strings.
Adeline gritted her teeth. You can tighten them more than that.
Ah, a medium waist is what you want.
She began, but knew this was her own fault. She held on to the bedpost as he pulled. All right. You look good, and you can talk all you want. What do I care? Do a dance on crossed swords for all it matters to me. When he tied the strings at the bottom, she looked at him, and his eyes had that look of teasing that she was beginning to know well. You're a dreadful man, you know that? He went back to the other side of the bed, picked up the waistcoat and put it on while Adeline stepped into her dress. Yesterday she'd done her best to clean it of the sawdust, but she could still see that it wasn't at its best. She hoped that there was a wardrobe full of clothes on board the ship. She knew she'd have to take the dresses in, at least in the bus line, but she could do it. When she was dressed and her hair smoothed back, she went to Angus. He was leaning against the bedpost, his eyes closed, and his vest buttoned crookedly. "Come on now, wake up," she said, as she unfastened his vest and buttoned it straight.
"I had a dream about you,"
he said softly, looking at her in the candlelight and the pink dawn that was coming through the window.
"Was it a good dream?"
she asked as she held up James's coat for him to put on.
"The best. You and I were together in a field. I could see it all clearly. It wasn't Scotland, but a place that I'd never seen before."
"Maybe it was America."
"Aye,"
he said gently, and reached out to touch her hair. They stood there for a moment, looking into each other's eyes, and she swayed toward him.
"When we get to America, I'll give you some of my gold and you can..."
She broke off at the look he gave her.
"Ever even mention such a thing to me again, lass, and I'll have no more to do with you."
She could tell by the anger in his eyes how much he meant his words. She started to apologize, but in the next moment a ray of sunlight came into the room and her opportunity was gone.
"We must go,"
Angus said. He grabbed James's boots in one hand and her hand with his other while she snatched the bundle of shaving and sewing gear. They ran down the stairs, Edeline trailing behind him, never letting go of his hand. When they got to the room, they had just shut the door behind them and were standing there breathless when the landlord pounded on the door.
"Your carriage is here,"
he shouted, seeming not to be concerned that he might wake his other guests. Angus left the room, Edeline behind him, but when she saw the coachman standing in the doorway, she ran back into the room, closed the bed curtains, then told the coachman to get the trunk in the corner and not to wake her sleeping sister. Edeline made sure Angus didn't hear her do this, as she knew he wouldn't like it. She was taking the woman's clothes, but Edeline didn't know what had been put on the ship. She didn't want to spend the several weeks of the voyage in only one gown. Outside the inn, a beautiful hired carriage with four prancing horses was waiting for them.
"James spares no expense for himself, does he?" Edeline said in sarcasm.
"Do you think we might get something to eat before we go?"
Angus asked as he tried to move his arms in the tight jacket.
"Do you ever think of anything besides food and sleep?" Edeline snapped at him.
"Aye, I do," Angus said slowly. "But not when I'm with a woman who's as ill-tempered as you are. Did I tie your laces too tight?"
She leaned back against the seat and closed her eyes for a moment.
"I'm just nervous, is all. I know my uncle knows who James is from the letter he stole from me, and he..."
"Did you tell Harcourt this?"
"Yes," Edeline said. "When I wrote James the second time, I told him everything. But my uncle could have made some inquiries to find out about James having booked passage on the ship. He could..."
She didn't say any more, because the coach suddenly came to a stop and she heard men shouting.
"Say nothing," Angus said. "I will deal with this."
"You? But..."
She broke off at a look from him. The door to the carriage was thrown open and two rough-looking men peered inside. Angus didn't move, just stayed leaning back against the seat, seeming to pluck a bit of lint off his cuff.
"Have you seen this man?"
one of the men said as he held up the picture of Angus.
"I should think not," Angus said, barely glancing at the handbill. "I would have shouted for help if I'd seen such a ruffian."
On the seat across from him, Edeline's mouth dropped open in surprise. Angus's normally thick Scottish burr was gone, and he sounded as though he'd been raised in the salons of London.
"Would you be so good as to shut the door, my good man?"
Angus said as he held up a lace-trimmed handkerchief to his nose.
"The dust is not good for me."
The man, with two teeth missing on the upper front, looked at Edeline, then down at something in his hand.
"Here, she looks like the lady that's run away from her uncle. He's given a reward for her return." "Are you saying that my wife looks like someone's niece? And he has money, I say, old man, where does he live? We shall visit him and tell him this is his lost niece. Do you think he would believe us?
Bleedin' fob, the man said in disgust as he slammed the carriage door. Go on with you.
Angus shoved the handkerchief back in his pocket and looked at Edeline, who was staring at him with wide eyes.
You have something to say?
No. Nothing, she said, blinking quickly. But where did you learn that?
From listening. It's nae so hard to do.
His heavy accent was back.
Would you like for me to talk like Harcourt all the time?
No, she said quickly. I wouldn't.
Smiling, he turned away to look out the window, and a moment later he said,
I can see the ship. We're almost there.